Welcome home. It's good to be back here, particularly on the Feast of Pentecost, where we celebrate the birth of the church and pay particular attention to the Holy Spirit. And it seems particularly appropriate because, well, Brigida and I were the first ones to arrive here this morning. We got here about 7:15, and we were starting to set things up. And Brigida noted that things feel a little different here, like that this space hasn't been prayed in for 5 weeks, which is the case. So we here this morning are beginning the process of praying back into this space and making it once again a sacred space for our busy lives. Now, this morning, what a rich array of texts, but I'm not going to preach on any of them. Instead, I want to go a little bit earlier than our passage from Acts, where Jesus, 10 days before, says to his friends, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." When the Holy Spirit has come upon you. The Christian belief, the Orthodox Christian belief, is that God reveals God's self completely on the day of Pentecost. Finally, the third person of the eternal Trinity, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, has her day in the sun. She gives wind, flame, speaking in tongues, and hearing the good news. She gives power. But who is she? So to be clear, the Christian belief is that God is three in one eternally, and that humanity didn't always know this. And the first person of the Trinity was revealed most clearly when the first person of the Trinity spoke to Abram in Genesis chapter 12. And the second person of the Trinity was revealed most clearly beginning with the birth of Jesus. And now, in this moment, in Pentecost, the third person of the Trinity reveals herself. Now, who is she? In many ways, she's the most elusive of the three persons. So I'm going to explore just a few images. There are many more, some of which you just heard in Scripture. The first is the classic image of Spirit as wind that blows where she will. Now, this is particularly vivid for me right now because, as you may know, I just made a 1,000-mile circuit of the state of Nebraska. And on my third night in Nebraska, I was spending the night in the northwest corner along the Pine Ridges in a place called Chadron, which produced three of the cowboys in Oklahoma's Cowboy Hall of Fame. So it's close to the South Dakota border, so it's where people congregated for the Gold Rush. It's where the general who commanded the slaughter at Wounded Knee spent the night both before and after that battle. And it's where lots of bikers congregate for the largest motorbike gathering in the world in South Dakota. It's close by there. So it's a rough and tumble place. And I spent the night in a hotel that's been there since the 1890s. And the thing about Chadron is that every night the wind comes down strong through the Pine Ridge. And you can hear it in this old hotel filled with antiques. And as I was going to bed that night, I could hear the wind. And as I was falling asleep, I had the eerie sense and a vague memory. We had sat around with the woman who owns and runs the place, a great character. She had a picture of herself as a biker back in the 1980s with wild hair and rah. But she assured us that, in fact, the hotel was haunted. And so I heard this wind, and I had that uncanny sense of disorientation. You've probably felt it with wind. Now, the thing about the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit as wind is uncanny and disorienting, but benevolent. So Holy Spirit is wind. That's one of the classic images. Another one that's become more powerful for me in the last year is I've never believed in fate, but I've wondered where God is as things unfold. And I've started to embrace the notion of providence. So perhaps the Holy Spirit is in with us in time through providence as a kind of shaping force as events unfold, slowly, sometimes powerfully, sometimes subtly, nudging things in the direction of the fulfillment of all in all that we have been promised when the kingdom of God arrives. So, perhaps a second way to understand the Holy Spirit as akin to and as a part of and as the force behind providence. A third way to understand the Spirit, and in fact the very first in Scripture, is that the Spirit, it says in Genesis 2, the Spirit broods over creation. So, as a shaping force in creation. Now, again, this is vivid for me in a new way because of, well, the next morning we woke up in Shadron and drove all the way back to Omaha across northern Nebraska. And as we did that, for about 4 hours, we were driving through the sand hills of Nebraska, which I hadn't fully understood before. If you look at a map, which I've laid out in our vestibule there, of Nebraska, you'll notice that there's a big yellow shape right in, taking over the middle of the state. And it's it used to be a sea, and so it's covered, so the layer that's closest to the surface is all sand, literally sand, like ocean sand. But underneath the sand is aquifer. So in many places in the sand hills, you don't have to stab down very far before water comes up. So it's sandy, and then it's got all these little lakes and ponds, water right underneath the surface. And then on top of that is a very thin layer of grassland. But the wind blows through there and has what they call a blowout, where it takes these patches of turf and just blows them. And then the danger is that the wind will keep blowing and then the hills will just disappear. And so the cowboys and cowgirls who have their cattle are always on the lookout for these blowouts and are covering them up so that all the grass doesn't just plain disappear. The settlers who first went there were no trees to build houses, so they were soddies. They created little houses out of sod. So I was traveling through this landscape for 4 hours, and it was easier than usual to imagine God's shaping hand over these sandy hills with these intriguing features and the water bubbling up underneath. So the Spirit is like a hand, maybe, molding the earth. Another image, a fourth one, I've suggested wind, providence, and brooding over creation for the Spirit. And this one's at a high level. We say every Sunday that she proceeds from the Father, the source. The Word, the second person, is begotten. The Ghost proceeds. Proceeds. Well, for me, that's a word, the connotation of which is quite stately. So she proceeds from the source, the first person of the Trinity, just as the second person is begotten. Now, at a certain level, this is deliberate nonsense because we don't know. It's a deep mystery. And yet those are the words chosen by the church as a way of saying, no, there's a real distinction here. Another way to think of it, and one that is very close to my heart, is the way that Augustine talks about the Trinity as the lover, the beloved, and love. The third person of the Trinity is the love that binds together the lover and the beloved. And that love is so real that she, in fact, is a person also, full personhood. So Spirit as love personified. Now, those are just four images, and there were even more in the Scriptures this morning. I'm not going to unpack all of them. But the conclusion should be that there's something elusive about this one, this third person of the Trinity. She is all these things and more. On this day, we remember that she poured herself out and gave birth to the church, that wonderful and sacred mystery that we inhabit even today. More than that, she gave power. Imagine that she's with us now, in this very moment, as we re-inhabit our church. She's here in just the way she was there in Jerusalem in, say, 33 AD. She's with us as wind, as providence, as a brooding, shaping power, as love, and as other kinds of power as well. If I could be so bold, let me say again the words that Jesus said to his friends with slight variation. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in San Rafael, in all Marin, in the Bay Area, and to the ends of the earth, even, dare I say it, Chadron and the Sandhills. Amen.